when reading Hebrews chapter 12, you have to understand that chapter 11 is connected to it. And when you understand that, it really puts into perspective what I believe Paul, I believe he was the writer of the book of Hebrews, what I believe he was trying to say. So in our mind, we know what Hebrews chapter 11 was. It's the hall of faith, those that have paved the way before. And so in verse 1, he starts out like this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Here's our text verse for tonight: "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Tonight I will only deal with the first part of verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author. That's all I'm going to get through tonight. Looking unto Jesus, the author. And we understand, of course, what is he the author of? The author of our faith. The author of our faith. When you look up the word author in this text in the Greek, it actually means a chief, a leader, a prince, and also has another meaning: one that takes the lead in anything and thus becomes an example. Another definition is a pioneer, someone that paves the way. And so Paul was talking here about Jesus Christ being the chief leader, being the prince, being the one that takes the lead in anything and then becomes an example and also a pioneer. Can you raise your hands to heaven tonight and say that Jesus Christ has been that to you? He's been the chief. He's been the captain. He's been the leader of your life. He has taken the lead in your life. If you let him take the lead, he will take the lead in your life. And I think it's funny how and just ironic that Paul uses the term looking unto Jesus, the author, the one that took the lead, the one that has orchestrated our life. And after Paul was examining all those in the hall of faith in chapter 11, those great pillars of the Word of God, and he could have named so many more, and even some were unnamed, and how he held them in high esteem, he said, "There came a point in time when I understood that I had to turn away from looking at all those before, and I had to turn and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith." That word "looking" in the Greek actually has more of a sense than just looking or gazing upon something. No, what it literally means is you turn from looking at one thing and then fix yourself on something else. He said, "I could not look to those in the past as being the author of my faith. No, I had to turn from those examples and I had to fix my eyes on the one who was the real author of my faith. He was the one that created all things. He was the one that started it all. He was the one that orchestrated my life. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in this predicament. I wouldn't be in this circumstance right now. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to write these words right now." That's what Paul was trying to say. He left the things of the world, left the people of the world, and he permanently fixed his eyes on the true author, that being Jesus Christ. And Paul wants us to do the same tonight, and we should do the same tonight. We should understand that we are thankful for those that have come before us. We're thankful for Hebrews chapter 11 and the hall of faith. And I know that many of you tonight have people in your life that you could say have been in the hall of faith in your life. But really, let's be honest, we have to take a look at them, but then our look has to be drawn and be fixed permanently to Jesus Christ. For if it wasn't for him, the author of our faith, none of us would be here tonight. None of us would be saved. If it wasn't for him taking the lead and orchestrating our life, we would have nothing. But Jesus is the author. And when I look at Jesus, I see the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author, the finisher of my faith, the one who created the universe and holds it together, the one who always was, always is, and always will be. I see the one who was unmoved, unchanging, undefeated, and never outdone. He was bruised that I might be healed. He was pierced that he might ease my pain. He died to give me life. He fought the battle against darkness to bring me peace. The world cannot understand him. Armies could not defeat him. Schools cannot explain him. Leaders cannot ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him.
The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. New Age couldn't replace him. He is my light. He is love. And he is Lord. He is my goodness. He is kindness. He is gentleness. And he is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is mighty. He is powerful. And he is pure. His ways are right. His word is true. He is unchanging. And he thinks about me. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide and my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. And he is my hope. I serve him because I love him. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. He gives me life that I might have life more abundantly. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all loving and all caring. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will never mislead me. And he will never forget me. When I fall, he will pick me up. When I fail, he will forgive. When I am weak, he will be strong. When I am lost, he shows me the way. When I am afraid, he stands by my side. When I am hurt, he will heal me. When I am broken, he will mend me. When I am confused, he will lead me. When I am hungry, he will feed me. When I have problems, thank God, he will solve them. Why? Because he's the author of my faith. And when I look unto him, that's what I see. Someone that can solve all of my problems. Now, as I begin to think the past couple of weeks on this term, the author, your mind, of course, goes back to the obvious statement of what is an author. And, of course, most of the time you think about someone writing a story or writing a book. And so, really, there's a lot of research out there on what are parts of a book. And we can go into finite details, but really there's just three basic things. There's a conception, there's chapters, and there's a conclusion. There's a conception or an introduction, there's chapters, and there's a conclusion. I know it's a lot more intricate than that. Excuse me, all you writers out there. I apologize. But that's how I broke it down, and that's how it fits, and they all start with C, so that's pretty good. So when God's the author of our life, what does that mean? That means he has wrote our introduction. He has wrote our conception. Doesn't Jeremiah 1:5 say, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and I ordained thee. Of course, he was talking about Jeremiah, how he would be a prophet unto the nations. But may we understand tonight, that certainly applies to everyone under the sound of my voice and everyone that is listening tonight. Thank God, before he formed us in the belly, he knew us before we were born on this earth. And our pastor preached many, many years ago about the fact that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I think that's before birth, and I think that's after birth. I think somewhere up in the heavens, God created us and he put us in the womb of our mother. That's why you can't tell me. I don't care what the liberals may say or what the politics may say. It doesn't really matter to me. This isn't a political issue, but I do not care what term it is. Abortion is murder and will always be murder. Amen. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And at conception, there is blood that flows. And when the blood flows, there is life. So my friend, I don't care what the world tries to tell us. I don't care what the crazies may tell us. Go ahead and let it remain crazy. I know what the Word of God says. And I stand on the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It doesn't matter whether I'm Republican or Democrat or Independent or Green Party. It really doesn't matter. But no, I'm standing on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Life begins at birth. And when you kill a life, it's murder, my friend. Hallelujah. Amen. Vote for me 2020. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And of course, every single one of us, those that choose to reject Christ and those that accept him, he has ordained us to be something. He has orchestrated our life. Those that have walked away from God, God did not purposely bring them into this world for them to walk away. He's given everybody a choice. But everyone is ordained to follow God. But some choose not to. But I'm so glad that He's wrote the introduction to my life. He's the author of my life. That means He wrote it and He's been there from the very beginning. Hallelujah. This week, Calvary already mentioned this morning about how we were there whenever they were getting ready to take Sister Frances off life support, and how just the sweet presence of God came into that place. The workers there were just unbelievable. Some students came in and were part of that, and they saw a wonderful family taking care of their loved one. And it was just a beautiful time. How God just came and just gave His peace. Well, in the midst of all that, it was quite a process of time that passed. And me and Jimmy were in a corner. And it don't take me and Jimmy paying too long to start talking about stories. And some of them were humorous. We just had to laugh. Some of the funniest things that happen will happen in a church house. I guarantee you that. But then we were talking about Francis and Pat. And he said, "Do you know how Pat accepted the call to preach?" He said, "We always knew that Pat had a calling on his life." I'm talking about the introduction of your life. I'm talking about God ordaining a plan for your life. And of course, Pat, he got saved. He'll tell you himself, God saved him from a life of sin. But God ordained him and set him apart to preach, but he was struggling with that call. And so they were at the Christian Baptist camp meeting in Willisburg. And his family didn't know what was going on, only Pat knew. So they were in the congregation that night, and before the service even started, the district superintendent, actually the general superintendent at that time, was Brother A.L. Baldridge. Some of you older ones may know who he was. Great man of God, a great leader of the conference, and just happened to be a part of that conference. And I don't remember a lot about him, but I do remember he was a great man, and he was always had a discernment of the Holy Spirit. So he got up. And he said these words. He said, "I never do this." He said, "But I just feel led to have all the preachers in the house stand tonight." And he said, Pat would say this, whenever he said that, the Holy Spirit came all over me. And before I knew it, I was standing to my feet. And my family looked over in amazement and thinking, well, we didn't even know he was thinking about it. And after all the preachers stood up, Brother A.L. Baldridge didn't know what was going on with Pat. He looked right at him and he said, that right there, my friend, was for that young man right there. He is surrendering the call to preach right now. And the Holy Spirit came all over Pat and ordained him right then and there to be a minister of the gospel. And I'm telling you what, folks, hasn't he blessed our life over the years? How God has used him in mighty ways. And I'm telling you, God wrote that in his book. God wrote that. He started it off when he was born. But thank God he ordained a plan for Pat Payne, and he's ordained a plan for you. And hallelujah, he's wrote it in the book of your life. Why? Because he's the author at conception. What else? He's the author in the chapters. So somewhere between the beginning and the end, there's chapters. What do the chapters represent? That represents the ups and downs of your life. Some chapters are really good. Some chapters you like to rip out. But you can't rip them out. It's all part of God's authoring your life. And when God authors your life, you have no input in the matter. He puts them in there and he writes things down. And the thing about it is, you don't know how short your book is or how long your book is. And you know how many chapters you're going to get into. You don't know if you're right near the conclusion of your life right now. But can't you honestly say that through all the chapters and the ups and downs and the ins and outs, the good ones and bads, can't you always say that God's been in control every step of the way? Even though we may not have seen it, we may have thought that he was asleep on the boat. Thank God he has been in control of all the storms, of all the good times, the blessings that he has given us, but the bad times as well. I'm telling you, God's been in control. And I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've been down and I've needed help and I've needed encouragement. And hallelujah, just in time, God would send something through to say, hey, there's another chapter coming and it's going to get better. I'm telling you what, folks, I'm glad he's the author of my life. One of the chapters in my life was leaving Beachport Church and coming here. And I don't even know if the Richard family even knows this.
I don't even know if I've even shared it here. But I was struggling on whether to leave Beach Fork and come here. And I knew it's what God wanted me to do, but I needed assurance that everything that God showed me. And for, I won't get into the story, but it was hard on me to bring my wife and my family here. My son was just born. In fact, we dedicated him one Sunday, and the next Sunday I was here. My family really didn't like it, but they trusted that I was trying to follow what God said. Of course, we can all look back out now and you say, man, I wish you would have stayed over there. I'm kidding. Yeah. But no, I was struggling because I knew what I had to do. And I just needed to know the next chapter was going to be all right. I went to the mailbox one day and there was a card in there. It was addressed to me. And I opened it up. Sister Esther had written me a card. I hadn't visited the church because that's usually what she did. She always wrote, good to have you. Thanks for coming. But this wasn't one of those cards. This is one of those cards that said, we're praying for you. We're behind you. We're so glad that we just love you and just thank God that He's doing great things in your life. Just an encouragement. Now, I want to say this, and I don't mean this bad, but I didn't get a card that day from anyone, the church that I was coming from. I got a card that day from the church where I was headed to. Nothing bad about the other church, but it was a confirmation to me that God wanted me to turn the page and go to the next chapter. And see, when God gives you confirmation like that, you know that the next chapter is going to be good. You don't know what the next page is going to be. It may be ups and downs, but you know He's authored it. And when He's authored it, thank God He's in control. We can trust in that. I'll never forget Still Wright after all that she's been through and after almost leaving this world. And she told us that when we went and visited her after the fact and after she made it through all that and it was kind of giving her peace that everything was going to be okay. She said, I looked at my family one day and I said, it's going to be all right. He said, what do you mean? He said, I saw Jesus at the foot of my bed and He told me everything was going to be all right and I was going to make it through. And listen, she's been able and the family can testify. She's testified to every single one of them and said, hey, Jesus is real. He's taking care of me and you better get right with God. I'm telling you, the next chapter we may not always know what's happening, but when He offers it, we can know and rest in the fact that He is in control. So the conception, the chapters. What else is there? The conclusion. He's wrote the end of our story. But the problem is none of us know how that's going to be. Don't you love reading a book and you think you know how it's going to end up and it never ends up the way you think it's going to end up? Well, one thing for sure is we already got the book and we know we can read the back of it and we can go to it. Our pastor's been reading from the back of the book here recently. And we know what's going to happen as far as the next life. But until we get to that next chapter of our life in the book that's already been written, how long is it going to be before you reach that place? Because listen, it is appointed unto man once to die. And the pages of your life are turning, my friend. And they're turning every single day. And when will the last page be turned? Before God says the end. And listen, everyone has to know there's a time coming when every one of us are going to die. And my friend, you better be ready because God has authored that as well. He has made the appointment and none of us can get down to that appointment. You're going to make that appointment, my friend. And the best thing to know tonight is when you leave this place that you know that you're right with God and that everything is okay. I would rather know that tonight than have $1 million or all the riches in the world. To know that I'm ready for heaven means everything. Hallelujah. I only know one person, and I never got to meet him, but I've only heard of one person in my life that actually knew when they were going to die. My great-grandfather's name was Alton Brown, the father of my grandfather, James Ray. And Alton was a great man of God. He taught all of our family how to sing parts and play instruments. And my Uncle Gary was really close to my great-grandfather. He taught him how to play a lot of instruments and things. And But he had lung cancer. And on a Sunday at the end of service, he was really sick. And it was actually the Monday. He was in the hospital. And he told all the family, he said, "Listen, God's already showed me. Friday night, 9 o'clock, I'm going to heaven." And he said, "Papa, what do you mean?" He said, "Listen, God showed me. You might as well bank on it. God showed me. Friday night, 9 o'clock, I'm going to heaven." So they went through their week, not knowing if he was just thinking things or if it was true. But I'm telling you, friend, I confirmed it again with my mother this afternoon. Friday night, 9 o'clock, Grandpa Alton sat up in his bed, took one final breath and went on to glory. Now, all of us don't have that option. In fact, I've only known of one person ever to say that. Some of you maybe know people in your family that God has showed them that I'm passing, or they're passing. But my friend, none of us have that option tonight. Maybe by the grace of God, he can let you know. Sometimes we have a feeling, sometimes we know that the end is near. But I'm telling you, no man knows the day or the hour the Son of Man's coming back. No man knows that day is when that day is coming. And you could live another day. You could live another week, another year. But my friend, Jesus Christ could come back right now.